Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Let us take a different turn now. My next guest this morning has, I think I can say without any fear of overstatement, been on one hell of a journey in the course of the last 20 years. The good news is that that journey has come to a point where the poet joining me in studio now is a happy and a whole individual. But the stops along the way include marriage, breakup, realising she was gay, realising she was a poet, and only kind of slightly in that order. Anne Walsh Donnelly, you're very welcome. Good morning to you.
Thanks. It's lovely to be here.
Would it be fair to say, buckle up, people, there's going to be a few sharp corners and a bit of sudden breaking in this story?
Probably would need a strong cup of tea anyway, I'd say, at least.
You're from Carlow originally. You say that you were kind of an introverted enough child, but you went backpacking. You found the inner resources to go backpacking in your 20s.
I did, yeah. When I was 25, I headed off around the world. So Canada, America, Australia, New Zealand, Asia. I was away for a year and a half, so it was the best year and a half of my life. Mm. The kids mightn't like me saying that, but it was, yeah, it's just amazing time, amazing time.
And funnily enough, I gather that when you were showing pictures of yourself while backpacking to the kids, they said, come on, Mum, how did you not know that you were a lesbian?
This is only a few weeks ago, and it was my son and his girlfriend, they're in their 20s, and they were looking at them, and they were going like, how could you have not known that? It's so obvious. I said, just because I had short hair doesn't mean like I'm gay. Oh, it's the look. You just had the look.
But at that point in time, you were absolutely convinced of your own heterosexuality, were you?
Absolutely, yeah, totally. Had no inclination or no knowledge or awareness that I might be attracted to women.
Okay. Yeah. Was it perhaps the wanting to have kids?
I think so. I was actually talking to my menopause doctor about this a couple of years back because I was trying to kind of rationalise, you know, why am I now suddenly attracted to women? And she said, what happens sometimes to people in their 20s is that the urge to procreate overrides any other urge or any other natural inclination you might have. I think, too, it's partly to do with like the life plan. Like I grew up in the 80s and like there was a plan. You know, you went to school, you did well in your leaving cert, you went to college, you met a man, you got married, you had children. That was the plan that was laid out. Unfortunately for me, that plan didn't work out. But that's kind of, in those days, that was what life was supposed to be. It was like compulsory heterosexuality, as Adrienne Rich calls it, you know. So I suppose I was just sucked into that plan and didn't think outside the box. I didn't know any gay people. They might have kind of known of a homosexual, but lesbians, no, just absolutely had no idea.
So you married, you had a boy and a girl. Yeah. How long was it before the cracks in the marriage first appeared?
Pretty early on, really. There were red flags, but, you know, when you're in love and you have a family, you kind of don't want to see the red flags. I actually left 3 times. It was the 3rd time that I didn't go back.
What brought you back the other 2 times?
What brought me back was the desire to have the perfect family, to not have the children growing up with separated parents. You know, it was that dream of having the perfect family, being the perfect wife.
Okay, was that your guilt or was the kids placing guilt on you or what?
No, just the kids were too young. Like they were like 6 and 8 the last time. So they were quite young. They weren't aware of what was going on. It was totally me.
Well, you and society's pressures.
Yeah. Like, you know, the kind of like the image of like being the perfect mother and, you know, the Nigella Lawson type mother. And, you know, I'd be there trying to cook lovely dinners and bake bread and all this kind of stuff. So, it was guilt and it was not wanting to do this for the kids. And I had a thought in my mind, well, I'll wait till they're 18 and then I'll go. And then someone said, like, would you really want to put that on them? Like, would you want to turn around to your daughter in 18 and say, well, I waited till you were 18 before I went? Like, that's an awful thing to put on a child when you think about it like that. So over a process of years, really, I came to a stage in 2010 where I had nothing left to give. There was, you know, I had tried my absolute best and I knew then that if I was going, I couldn't go back because it wouldn't be fair to the children to keep doing this, you know, going, coming back, going, coming back. So I knew this was it. It had to be all or nothing. And So I went, yeah.
But it was a wrench nonetheless, I mean, particularly for your son moving from the farm.
Oh, for the two of them, like, because they were six and they were eight. And Brian, he was the oldest, and he's a real, even now when he's 22, he loves farming. He loves the country. That's his passion. So like when I said
and
to
you were moving him to the town.
I was moving to a town, yeah. And it was like a new house, new school, new friends. It was a massive wrench for the two of them. And Brian was very close to his grandparents who lived right beside us. So even that in itself was a huge wrench for him. Thankfully, he's probably, obviously all his cousins, he's probably the closest to his grandparents still. So, you know, it's great that he has kept that relationship up and they've been so good to him as well.
What happened to you socially? Because, I mean, you'd already been transplanted from one side of the country to the other. Were there any support networks for a woman leaving her husband at that time?
Not really. I was working in Castlebar, so I was lucky in that sense that I had kind of support in Castlebar because I was living across Malina. There wasn't. It was 2010. Luckily, I was going to see a therapist and that was really my main support along with some good friends in Castlebar. But no.
Was there anybody who ever came up to you and said, God, I heard you were separated, rooting for you? That's hard.
Well, I had friends, close friends that obviously knew what was coming. But in terms of like, say, acquaintances or like people at work, I remember one day there was, she was a colleague at work. I wouldn't know her very well. But she came up to me on the corridor and said, Anne, I'm really sorry to hear what happened. And I could have hugged her, but I didn't. But like, it was just lovely to someone to come up and say it to me and acknowledge it because, you know, it's kind of like I used to think sometimes women would avoid me in case they'd get like the leaving your husband disease or something. You know? It's like sometimes you don't want to drag that negative energy upon yourself.
Well, but, did you find actually, because this is an interesting one, that people don't know what to do with the single women in a network of married people and couples.
So. Yeah, like it's like I think it was easier maybe for people not to say something to me or like maybe not
or to exclude you from groups.
No, I wouldn't say I was ever excluded from groups, in fairness. Like I hadn't met my friends really at that stage were my work friends. Outside of that, I had time for creating friendships because you know, I was two kids on my own, no family around me. So
yeah, I would imagine within all of that logistics and looking after kids, setting up a new home and continuing to work full time, that you weren't really finding the time to be a sexual being either, were
Absolutely
you?
Not. I wouldn't have the energy anyway.
So when did you first start allowing yourself to explore, God, I think I'm actually attracted to women?
It was a gradual thing. I think the turning point in my life, the biggest thing in my life was when I experienced depression in 2016. That was 6 years after leaving the marriage. I had run myself into the ground. And that for me really is probably 2010 was a turning point, but that was even a more life-threatening turning point. And it was when I came out of that, really. I remember one day talking to my therapist and I was like, crouched over in the chair, clutching my tummy. And I just said to her, look, there's something inside me. I don't know what it is, but I wish I could get it out. I wish I could just maybe have surgery and just pull out whatever is in there because there's something in there. It wants to come out, but I can't, it won't come out. And I remember she said to me, she said, well, Anne, she said, maybe if it did come out right now, it would be too much. It would be overwhelming. You wouldn't know what to do with it. And I didn't know at the time what it was. I don't know if she knew or not. But in the months as I started to recover from my depression, it kind of thought, okay, well, maybe that's what it was. Maybe that was unconsciously in my body, there was something going on and I knew there was something going on. And I remember I was writing a lot of stories at the time and a lot of the characters in the stories were gay characters. I thought, like, that's very strange. Why am I writing about gay characters so much?
But gay male characters?
Gay male characters mostly. A few lesbians as well. But it was like, it was almost as if I was using my writing to explore something that I wasn't ready to consciously explore.
Autonomous of your brain, your hand was exploring all
these
issues.
It was coming
out
like, yeah.
Explain to me, though, what that process of realisation is. Was it individual people, characters that you were attracted to, or all women?
I won't say I was attracted to all women because my friends are probably thinking, oh God, does she fancy me? So, no, not all women, obviously. It's kind of like say now, for example, maybe I shouldn't ask you this question, but I'll be bold anyway. Like if you were if you were watching a love making scene on television, like who would you be looking at, a man or a woman?
Well,
putting you on the spot.
No, 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 no. I mean, obviously, the male gaze, the heterosexual male gaze, is drawn to the woman. But you know, I'm also equally capable of looking at a fella. I remember I had this debate recently with somebody about Jake Gyllenhaal and said, "My God, isn't he a good-looking fella?" So yes, look at both people. But no, yes, I absolutely say know what you're saying. Yeah. My eyes would be drawn to the woman.
Yeah, whereas I found as I was kind of, as this was going on, my eyes were drawn to the woman totally.
Okay.
So that was kind of, okay, well, like, you know, I'm attracted to the woman. And then there was kind of various people in my life I might be attracted to, or like, you know, it was always like in films or movies, it was like the strong female character. That was always what I would be attracted to. It's not just a physical thing, it's an emotional thing as well.
But it wasn't that you had gotten to that stage of life where it was people or individuals that you were seeking out. You were actually sexually attracted to all women. Well, not every woman, but to women in general. As distinct from having previously been attracted to men.
Oh, yeah. Sexually and emotionally, I would put it, you know, because there's a lot of emotionally is a huge part of it. You know, I think sometimes we dwell too much on the sexual aspect of a relationship. Mm. There has to be an emotion connection there as well as there being a physical connection.
At what point then did you decide to not just acknowledge this to yourself, but to everybody else around you?
It took a year. Obviously, I was exploring it in therapy, and that took a long while to come to terms with. Like, it was like, okay, I'm attracted to women, but that doesn't mean I'm gay. You know, this was kind of my line for months. So it was a full year before I came out to the most important people in my life, who are my children and my parents.
How did they take it? How did the kids take it?
Brilliant. They're just the best kids in the whole world. I know everybody says that, but they are really...
Were they surprised?
Brilliant. My son wasn't. My daughter was. Like, they were mid-teens at that stage. But they were brilliant. Like, you know, Brian just turned around and says, "Well, Mammy, I love you." And he gave me a big hug. And Hannah's reaction was... she said to me, "Well, at least now when I go to college, you'll have company." At the time, I was in a relationship. I'm not now, but I was. Mm. So that was beautiful. So, like, it was a surprise, but, like, I'm their mammy regardless. As my brother said, my son said to me one day, he said, "Mammy, you're not your normal bog standard mother." You're a bit different.
What was that first relationship like? Was it all butterflies in the tummy and being a teenager, head in the clouds?
Oh, totally, totally. Like being in love all over again when you were a teenager. Yeah, it was wonderful. It was beautiful. Unfortunately, didn't last, but it was. It was like, because I know when I was kind of said, okay, well, I'm attracted to women, but that doesn't mean I'd like to kiss them or I'd like to jump into bed with them. I mightn't like that at all, you know? So, and then I discovered, actually, yeah, I do like it. I do like the physical aspect as well. So it was, and like, it's very different. Like, I remember a friend of mine saying to me years ago about, and she's a heterosexual, just talking about having sex with a man and how spiritual it was. And I was like, how could you think that sex with a man was spiritual? Because I never had that experience. I enjoyed sex with men, but I never had that spiritual experience. I had that with a woman.
But that was about your connection or lack of connection to your husband, was it?
No, I loved him at one stage. Okay. I didn't marry him. We had two kids, so I did love him. And like, there was never a case in the early part of our marriage that I didn't enjoy being with him. I like would have had other relationships with men before that as well. But it was just different with a woman. It was a spiritual experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you happy being single again now?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Life is good. I'm very grateful for my life. I'm in a good place. You know, today is a good day. Tomorrow might not be, but today is a good day. I have a very close relationship with God as well as with my children, my parents, my family, and I have some very good soul friends that nurture me. So I'm quite happy. I like my solitude. Mm.
Did God not say at any point in all of this, to thine own self be true, Anne?
Yeah, like I struggle. Like I would be very spiritual, always was. I did a degree in theology in college, so it would have been very spiritual. But when I left the marriage, I was kind of like, well, God won't want to know me now because I've broken my vows and I've left my husband. And then coming out, my sexuality, you know, I was kind of like, I wonder, like, what does God think of this? You know, I know what the church thinks of it. Mm. But I kind of came around to the notion where, like, this God, whoever God is, he, she, they, is the source of all love, the source of all that is in the world. And I don't think that kind of a being would turn to me and say, Anne, what you're doing is wrong. I really don't think that God would do it, you know. And I was reading a psalm recently, Psalm 129, and in it, it talks about God knitting you together in your mother's womb. I really don't think God would have knitted together something he didn't like or something he found repulsive or something he found to be intrinsically disordered, which is what we're told by the church. Mm. I really don't think a loving God would, you know, would ever say what you're doing is wrong.
And do you have any regrets about not exploring your sexuality earlier on, or were you just not ready to?
Not ready to. I don't have any regrets because what I've been through is my journey. And everything I've done has led to me being where I am today. I have two wonderful kids. I've come through tough times, but I'm more resilient because of it. I'm happy in myself. I think everything kind of happens for a reason and you build on what comes before.
But in those 3 years when you were living with depression, I bet you didn't feel like that.
Oh, no, it was horrible. That was the worst thing. If like people say, oh, like you've been through tough times, you know, you've left your husband, you had depression, come out as gay. That depression was the worst thing I've ever been through in my whole life. And it was life-threatening. And I think that's something we don't talk about, that mental illness can be life-threatening. It can be managed, but it can be life-threatening. And it's just that dark place you go to. And there was one day when I contemplated ending my life. I went through the whole thing in my head, what I was going to do. You know, I was going to go to a river where nobody,
Okay, well, we're not going to go into any more of those details.
But
the point is that you didn't. That
I didn't because my kids, I love my kids so much.
The life force was too strong.
And the life force was too strong. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And tell me, what do you think about what other people think about you now? Or have you happily arrived at a point where you don't really care?
Do I care? I would be lying if I said I don't care. But I kind of think, well, that's their business. Like, you know, I can't control what anybody else thinks of me. All I can do is kind of be the best person that I can be, to be as loving as I can be, to be as kind as I can be. And, you know, that's all I can do and keep going and keep breathing.
How much has this all informed your writing now?
Yeah, it has. My writing has changed a lot since I started writing. Like I write short stories and plays and poetry and so forth. And my new book is not poetry. Mm. It's totally different. But anyway, to my experience, I have written a lot about being gay and coming out. And it's wonderful to have that outlet and to explore it. And I think with me, for my experiences in writing about it, for me, writing is using my experience to create art. It's not just about telling the story. It's about how you tell the story and how you put it on the page and how the words come together and the language.
But your new book, He Used to Be Me,
yes.
And sorry, I haven't read it, but reading the synopsis of it doesn't deal with any of this, really. At least superficially, does it?
Superficially, it doesn't. But Matt's story, it's about grief because he's grieving what he's lost. He's wondering and thinking about what could have been.
Daft Matt has fallen off a horse and has ended up spending 30 years in an institution recovering from his injuries.
Yeah, there's a loss there, huge loss. So there's a lot of me in that book, even though it might seem on the surface like, you know, I'm a middle-aged woman writing about a man who's in his 60s who's had, like, you know, a lot of challenges in his life. But there is a lot of me in it because there's a lot of grief in Matt's story. And he's very different and he's marginalised and he's on the edges of society, and it's like I was marginalized and I was on the edge. I put myself on the edge of society in terms of like having three things that you I was ashamed of: leaving my marriage, depression, and then coming out. They were three big things to be shameful of, and three things that kind of made me different to other people. And Matt's the same, you know, so there is a lot of it, me in there.
You wrote very beautifully, quite movingly about this recently. Did you get much positive reaction? Have there been many people who said, oh, thank God Anne is writing about this?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was like, really, I was stunned. I was humbled by the reaction I got. And people messaging me, telling me about their story. Very, very humbled and glad that it resonated with people and maybe might start a conversation for some people. Because it was funny, I was at a work meeting one day and everybody on, it was a Teams call, everybody said, oh, congrats on your article. Like I was expecting them to say congrats on your book. No, it was a congratulations on the article in the Sun Independent. So I know, which is lovely. Yeah, yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Nice to be able to try and help provide some kind of a roadmap to others in the same situation, I'd imagine.
Yeah, because like, you know, when I was going through all I went through, all I wanted was to talk to someone who'd been in the same situation.
And there was nobody.
There was nobody. You can talk to friends or therapists, but it's not the same as someone who's walked in your shoes. Mm.
You know? And you ended up at one point talking to a therapist who was absolutely disgraceful in their treatment of you.
Maybe we shouldn't mention that. About a month.
Right, well, okay,
after,
let's, about a month in, after, case, in case the person end up feeling identified. But my point is that, you know, not necessarily everybody who is in a position to give advice is going to give the best advice, because when you later went to another therapist, they were somewhat aghast that you were ever instructed or told these things.
Yeah, it was myself and my husband went to see someone after we separated, and the therapist turned around and just said to me at one stage, so you got what you wanted. You know, which was kind of, it was a blow.
You got what you wanted, meaning you got free,
you got
of, your
free
husband.
Of your husband. But then, on the other hand, we went to someone else. And after an hour and a half, she turned to me and said, "Anne, I get it. You left because of you wanted for your emotional survival." I said, "Yeah, that's it." So like, you know, there's good and bad in all walks of life. It's just trying to find the one that fits your situation and fits with you.
The book, He Used to Be Me, published by New Island Books, is out now.
Yes.
If not. And if anybody has been affected by any of the issues that Anne has just talked about here, well, you go back and read her piece in the Sunday Indo.
Yes, please.
Or look for help at rte.ie/helplines. Anne Walsh Donnelly, thank you very much for coming in to us this morning.
Thank you.
Email brendan@rte.ie.